I think we have it into. The fifth line down. So he says, we're describing how so that this man has said to this woman, have led into Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael. So I want you to, we should be married like Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael. Now it's not describing over here the Maisa Kedushin, which Rebbe Kedushin leave with the Vasu Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael, describing that they're going to live together like with Das Moshe B'Yisrael, with the Chiyuvim of the Rice and the Rabbanon to each other. She's going to be a wife Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael. And in response to that, when I will work, I will respect. Ezen Refarnes, I will give support of Mazonus, and Refarnes is and take care of all other needs. Yisichi Lechi. So this actually, this is the nusach which they not all nusachos had the word Lechi, and it means Yisichi is the same word as Oisach. I will. Respect you, and I will. But Eflach, I can't work you. Eflach Lechi means I will work for you, to you. So that's why we add the word Lechi.
I understand. What does that mean? That I will work for you, to you.
I will work for your needs.
But I mean that's so. We covered in the other words, right? That. In other words, I will, sustain you and.
Right, but the word so the Eflach means I'm taking responsibility to go out and do whatever it takes.
That's the Aramaic word that could mean worship too.
Yes, that is true. We're in the lashon of avoda, so the word avoda in this usage will be not worship but service.
Obviously.
Okay. He's not promising to worship his wife. The falcon, the merkin, and the bezon, and the farasin, and the shem, bekushta, they do it in an honest way. Even the lechi moyer besulaychi, so I will give to you the in payments for the fact that she's recognizing that she's a besula. Kesi zuzi moson, 200 mesaim zuz. This is the chos of lechi meter rice. So I mentioned to you that this really is a mechoikus in the Gemara. Whether it's a chi of the rice or a chi of the abundance, the machlokas is how he paskin and pashes. So the suba of the svardim doesn't say meter rice because the mishulchan aruch paskins that the chi of suba is not the rice. We're being noyik to say that we were writing meter rice that the chi of suba is the rice. That's very important because the Mor Kedushin says that all chi of the abundance were calculated in zuzi medina. And all chiyuvim deraisa were calculated in zuzim of tsuri. Zuzim of tsuri were 8 times larger than zuzim medina. So the chiyuv ksuv will be 8 times larger for Ashkenazi than it will be for Sephardi. On this calculation of deraisa, Raman calculates it in sa'arim of kesef, which is translated into pretty much the standard way they calculate it. It'd be either a zuz would be the equivalent of 120 grams. Of kesef or 960 grams of kesef, which that's that their kesef wasn't totally refined. So they calculate if you calculate the ones which are refined, it's a little bit less. You know, 0.999 kesef is a little less. I think they calculated about 960 grams of the type of silver which you'd put into a coin, because you have to have a certain amount of alloy, otherwise it's that doesn't last, etc. So it's about 850 or 900 grams of refined silver.
150 or 900?
No, 850 or 900 for the Ashkenazi calculation. I looked up yesterday what the price of silver was for that. Just give me a second. Okay. It was 65 cents per gram. So if you figure 850 grams, is is so. Kesef is 850 grams, so you can do your math at 65 cents a gram. 850 grams, 200 zuz is not that big. $500. Right?
It is. Now, was that the
now there is there's a sma which says that that we it's not a set amount of based on silver, it's based on buying power. However, the Rambam holds not like that, and the other lot of the Shulchan Aruch seems to follow the approach of the Rambam. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, you can't be moitzi mammon. Rambam says it was set as a set amount of silver. It wasn't based on buying power. Even the logic would say that, you know, I think you go back to about 100 years ago, the fluctuations of buying power, there's more or less, but it wasn't, you know, that 100 years ago a dollar bought you a tremendous amount of items. And all of a sudden things went skyrocketing. Now uksus saichi, uksus saichi, misipokaichi, namela basaichi, karakol aro. So he's mechayim himself with the mezonos, uksus, his clothing, misipokaichi, which whatever her sipok is, whatever her needs are. And to live together in a natural way, which means having intimate relations. Tzvias Morris, and Lashon Tzvi means she wants, or she over here means she agrees. So the name of the woman is Sultata, the Havas of the Intu, and she becomes his wife. So she brings in a Nadunya. So, like we mentioned, that this will be what's known as Nitzchei Tzaren Barzel. So any property that she brings into the marriage either comes in as Nitzchei Tzaren Barzel or as Nitzchei Malug. If they evaluate it at the time of the marriage, the time of the Nisuin, he's now Machayim himself to pay back that amount no matter what. So that's called Tzaren Barzel. It's guaranteed. It's Barzel. It's like Eisen. It's like iron. It's strong. If they don't evaluate it, automatically it becomes Nisim Malug, which means that the property remains the woman's, and any fluctuation in value going up and going down is the woman's gain or loss. And the husband has rights to Malug to pluck the payrus, to take the usage. So that's not going to be written in the Ksuba, because the point is that exactly the idea, that it's, the husband has not made any commitment to the value of it. It's whatever it is at the end, she just takes it back. So only thing that's written to the ksuba would be the items which they're going to evaluate and say he's committing to that this is the matter, he'll pay back this amount no matter what. So that was Nisim and Barzel. The dunya are synonymous. Now the Hanolos law, there's a blank over there. It could be if the father's alive, we write Nibei Avua from her father's home. If the father's not alive, we write Mibein Nosha, which represents the fact that she's lacking a father. She's bringing it Mibein Nosha. The word Nosha is Lashon Nashani. She, like the pasuk Nashani Hashem Kol Amali, I've forgotten. I'm forgetting. She's lacking the father. If she'd be a woman who a Gyaris, we would write the Hanolos law that she's bringing in. We would not write Mibay anything. So we'd use a different Nusach of Ksuba for that, obviously.
Hanolos is bringing?
She's bringing in, yeah, Lashon of Ming Mal to bring in. Mibay Mekesa, Mibay Mezor, Mibay Metashitin, whether it's gold, silver, whether it's jewelry, Bimani to Labusha, it's clothing, Shemush Edira, things they use in the house, Shemush Edarsa, things they would use in the bedroom, which would refer to they have the linens. It was a very common thing in Europe that the nadin was linens. A girl would start building. She would weave her own, you know, she would weave her own nadin. She would weave linens as a young girl. That was part of the standard. A kol kibbutz love, And then the chassam would write that. He would write, now, Bizman Chazal, they would sit there, he would mekabel it at a value. And they would evaluate each item. That's what the Mor says. They sit there and they would haggle how much this is worth. So that's why Lek Ksuba, there's no Ksuba which doesn't have a tibia, doesn't have a fight. Could there be something in the Ksuba which they would disagree with the value? Which he would say less, she would say more. But nowadays we put a set amount. This is Rashkenazim. Now the Svarim also put a set amount. They don't evaluate each item, but many Svarim, the Nusach of the Ksuba, it's blank, and they fill in an amount. They write $1 million, whatever they would write. They would write some number. Right, you know, so you'll go to Sardi Chastel and you'll listen to them reading the Ksuba, and you'll hear him saying, you know, $1 million, you know, $10 million. They'll fill in a number. Of course, the more chashuv they are, the bigger number they fill in. The minig in Poland already. This is a Nusach which is taken from Poland, about 400 years ago. They used a mount called a zakuk. A zakuk just means it was a known. It represented a certain amount of gold. Mayor skukin kesef, 100 skukim of kesef of silver. And there was a measure that they used. Was that they zokuk just means that it's refined. I mean, it was the refined silver that they used to. But that was a certain amount they used to call a zokuk. Kesef tsar, which is refined silver. So he would evaluate the nadin at 100 skukim. How big is a zakuk? You know, to translate it into modern terms, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. We calculate a zakuk at it was equivalent of a half of a pound of silver. So 200, so 100 could be 50 pounds of silver. And then Vitzavi Chasandanan, the chassan would agree to Behoisala mean delay, what's called the Sevis Ksuva, Oid Meis Kukim Kesav Tsarav, Acherim Kenegdan. So he would be Machai himself to pay her back above and beyond the Ksuva, another 100 Kukim of Kesav Tsarav. So, Sachakol, we say skukim kesef tsarif. That adds up to 200 skukim. So 200 skukim is 100 pounds of silver. So if you're doing, they don't give you in pounds, but it calculates out to 45, basically 45.3536 kilo. The price of the kilo was $649.77 yesterday. So you do the math out, that's about $25,000, $26,000. The highest it's been is about $50,000. It was actually almost double that. It was $50,000. The highest point that silver hit was a while back. It was like 35 years ago. But the truth is, even though it actually went quite high, not as high, but it went quite high. I had a ksuba situation. I had a get situation. So they were, it's standard. Most bought the dinim. They don't calculate it. They don't use that ksuba because there's a lot of other financial considerations. But it's part of the considerations. The value of the ksuba. They don't. The final pshoro will not be the value of the ksuba. That's taken into consideration with all of the other financial obligations he's going to, there's no din of alimony, Bizman Chazal, he'll be alimony, but other hand, this is the key that he's starting with, and we'll calculate it into the consideration. This is evaluated at the time of the payment, not the time of the original commitment. We were in the middle of a situation, and Kessel was, silver was very high, so it ran like $45,000. And by the time they actually, finished all the calculations, they went to Besdin, and it dropped to about $20,000. It was a few years ago. It's, the silver market just dropped precipitously, And it was just right then as we were doing this. It was like, oh man, you know, her negotiating position just dropped $25,000. So it can be volatile sometimes. Now, volatile.
But based in, do they figure out all the alimony, how you split the assets? I mean, isn't that handled in civil?
It doesn't have to be handled in civil court. It could be they can make an arrangement through Bezin, and the civil court will recognize that as a form of arbitration. Bezin is dealt with in this country as a form of arbitration, which is arbitration agreements are recognized by court, assuming that they meet all of the requirements. It would be referred in halacha to be done through Bezin, because Bezin does have precedents in regards to, it's not the end of the Gemara, but there are precedents of that in halacha, because there is a concept of committing to take mezonos to the daughters for the wife. There's a chiyuv chinuch. There's different chiyuvim which Bezin, we'd rather have it done according to the problem of Hilchus, that we have, than with a secular court.
Is there a problem of our code Shilohem? That you shouldn't do it civilly.
I'm not sure, because it's not straight into the Gemara, so I'm not sure that would. Some of it is, some of it isn't. So it's like a mixture. I'm not sure.
But I thought the issue was even if they have the same halachos as us.
That's true, but the halachos means that if something which I have, which is a din. So the part which are dinim, so that way I can't go to there. But there's a lot of other things which are taken into consideration, etc. Minigam adina plays a role. Minigam adina halachically plays a role. So a lot of times they will get ahead to go to regular court, because a case where it's not all divorces are amicable, and the power of the enforcement of a court is helpful. Okay, the chassam will then say he was mechay himself. The chay struck tzuvah dov and the din name the sefta dov. The chay is for the chiv tzuvah, the nadunya, and the sefta. Kibilat alai bal yosi basroi. I'm mechay myself. And my yorshim, the hispara to be paid out. We call shvar erig nitzin v'kiyana d'isli tchayis kol shmaya. From all of the shafras lashon of good. I'm not sure exactly what re'enemy erig nitzin v'kiyana. It means any type of any nechassim that I have. It's a lashon of the root of the word is actually erig. It's spread out the contiguous properties, means any items that I have, wherever they are, chosh kol shmai, anywhere in the world, the kenoi which I have is also not a limit, which I will acquire. So that's a fair din that you can't be makna davar shel b'loilam. You can't be makna davar shel b'loilam. So. He can be, but you can be mishabe davar shel b'loilam. What he's doing here is a sheet. He's creating a lien. So the lien is chal, since he's personally mechuyev to pay. So whenever he acquires property, that chiyuv which he's mechayev himself will then go over to be chal on his property as well. Especially when we get to Bava Basra, so that's the main the. The more you use the lashon of nichsin the inish iun arvoyin bay, the nechassim, the shiva nechassim. The chiddush of shiva nechassim is that once there's a shiva on the property, even if the husband would sell the property, or any case you have a shibud, even if he sells the property, it goes over with the lien. Goes over with the shibud. That was the chiddush of shibud. Calls him on the person owns the property. So of course, if he owns the property, so he's mechuyav to pay with the property, whatever he has. That's not the chiddush of shibud. Right, that's the shibud aguf. That's the person's own responsibility to pay. So he has to use whatever he has to pay. The chiddush over here is that the property becomes chayav to pay. It functions like an oriv, like a guarantor. And therefore, even if he sells the property, the purchaser bought the property with this shibud on it, and if necessary, they'll collect from the purchaser the let's say the case of a loan, or the case of over here of the Baal, the woman would collect from the property the husband has sold, even at the time of the get, he doesn't own it anymore. That's the chiddush, that the shibud will take effect on things that he will buy, and then if he then subsequently sells them, it's not just he has to use it to pay. If he sells it, there was a shibud on it. So he's being mechayev himself now to put shibud on things he will acquire in the future. So that's the chiddush over here, that you can make a shibud of something in the future. The chiddush over here, because the Ritva says that shibud works as a mixes tinyan. The process how shibud works is what we're doing is we're giving. Let's say the case of a malva and a loiva. We're giving the malva a partial ownership qualitatively. That when he collects it, it will expand to full ownership. So I can't be mocked at the Rosh HaBaloilam. So how can I give a partial ownership to HaBaloilam? Right? It's not here yet. So that's the chiddush. Remember, the shibud works at the Rosh HaBaloilam. That's the chiddush of shibud. Isn't this on a Christ? Is real estate. It has a Christ because you can't destroy it, you can't hide it, you can't send it out of the country. It is where it is. So it's something which has a Christ. It can take responsibility. Now, midin of the Gemara, the ksuva was not paid from the chasim shein l'makrayis, from the taltalin. It's only paid from karka. The Gainamer Masakin, that it was paid from Metathlon as well. But over here, the Chiv of the Nadunya and the Tosefta, that's not, they can go either way, whatever the arrangement they make. Kulan Yehonach Roin, Ravoyan, they'll be responsible and guaranteeing, Lefroyim, Shaksub the door, Dunya, Bezef the door, Minoy, filming Lima Dal Kaspoy, I'm going to pay even with the shirt off my back. When I'm alive, after I pass away, from now and onwards. He's taking upon himself, it should have the full weight of the ksuvas and tuseftas which are made in the Klal Yisrael. It was done according to the way the Chachamim have set up, which means types of the story. So this is a standard that we put in any shtar, that we write in that he's not doing it with an asmachta. Asmachta is saying, the Mora says that we're, in certain cases we're worried about the person saying I didn't really think it's going to come to fruition, and therefore I wasn't really mechai myself. So we force him to put a hadas baldin up front that's not true. So then he can't make that claim afterwards, even in scenarios where that would possibly be true. Tepsi shtar was a form shtar without having the real weight of a shtar yet. Then we fill in the word v'kanina. Now, m'ikar adin, so the reason why it's blank, so the word which goes in the blank is the word v'kanina. Then we did a kinyan suter with him. That's what standard law of Kenina is, that we do a Kenyan Siddur with the person. And we write min from, we do a Kenyan Siddur from with the person, and you write his name, Lamoras, and you write her name. There's a Kenyan which goes, he makai himself from himself to herself. Now, why is it blank? To Mikra Din, you could really write the word of Kenyan in beforehand, and you'll find some Suvas that's actually written in beforehand. Even though it's not true, they weren't kind of yet. It says, and we're writing that we're kind of, well, we weren't kind of yet. We will be kind of in front of the Adam, and the Adam will witness that and sign it. But a lot of the language in the Ksuvta has not been the Kaiva yet either. Right? That's how we write in the Sukha. I tell you, the lawyer writes, I borrowed from so-and-so $1,000. He writes Adam on the bottom, and he gives it to the Malba when he gives him the money. He wrote something which didn't exist yet. But that's part of that's part of the Ischaivus. So anything which is part of the Ischaivus, you can write beforehand. But Kanina, you're stating a fact that they did a Maisa Kinyan. That's not true. So that's why some people leave it blank and they don't fill in it until after they actually did it, because that should be true. And some say that it's written al shame that when the Adam sign it will be true. That's the main idea. And when the Adam sign it will be true. That's the why Mikra then it's kosher to put in beforehand. So there'd be Kinyan which goes he must chayim himself to his kala. I'll come out the cost of before Shleil. Based on everything which is written before, he's Mekhaim of the King of Siddur and everything written above. But one of the Kashla Mikbayabe, it's also standard Nusra. We always write in that the item used for the Kinyan was a valid item because there are the Toises. It's actually a Toises who talks about what are we coming Lafuke, what are the things which are coming Lafuke that are not Kashla Mikbayabe. Kol Shirir V'Kayom. Now, a Kol Shirir V'Kayom is already mentioned in the Gemara. You learn the Gemara, and the Gemara says halacha is that by it's two interesting halachas by shtaris, which we don't do. One is, and we replace it with a Kol Shirir V'Kayom. One is that. The Gemara says that you would repeat the values twice in the shtar. They would write it twice, at the beginning at the end. And the one is the rule of Ein Lemeidim Mishita Karna, that you can't. But the last line cannot be used. The concern being that maybe they wrote the shtar. And they didn't sign. There's a gap, and the afterwards the Malba wrote something in. So the last line has no halachic weight. The Gemara already indicates that if you write a kol shirir v'kayom, so kayom means it's standing. Shirir is lashon of strong. It has full strength to it. Modern Hebrew muscles are called shririm, right? So this is muscled, right? That would be the modern Hebrew. The language. It's actually the word. I think is an Aramaic word, the chakila, which means it's strong. If you put a kol shirir v'kayom, if that becomes in a place where that's normal to put in. So you're saying everything above is true. So then you could be the maiden mishita achrona. Because if he would write in again, he'd be writing after a kol shirir v'kayom. He might write a kol shirir v'kayom a second time. So then there's a machlokes is whether you can use a kol shirir v'kayom a second time or not. So that's a machlokes din mechaber and ramah. So the Gemara already mentioned such an idea, and the Shulchan Aruch says because it's become standardized, any shtar which doesn't have the words of kol shirir v'kayom is possible. So all our shtaris always have a kol shirir v'kayom, and that also means that and it has to be the last thing, and it has to finish the line. So in a ksuba like this, that's pretty straightforward. Some of these fancy ksubas, like they come as a circle, so. It's not as obvious, and sometimes it gets. I just had one like that recently. And I was not 100% happy with it this line being one of the last lines is a very short line. So one of them, what they did was, I think it was a smart idea. They put it as the last line.
What is the last line?
So the smallest line was a kol shirir v'kayom. So by definition, right, you've made it to the end of the line. then the Edom would sign. In regards to the signatures of the Edom, in regards to the names, our standard we sign it is the person who signs it the way he goes gets an aliyah, his name and his father's name. In regards to the names, it's interesting. Moshe has a tshuva where he grapples with the nowadays that we have, you know, Baruch Hashem, there are many people with similar names. You go to, especially, you know, in the Chassidish world, you know, everybody names after the Rebbe. So, you know, you go, somebody was telling me that, you know, it's when the previous Rebbe was Nifter, so that year, every boy born that year was named Yaakov Yosef, after the Rebbe. You know, and a lot of them are cousins, you know, so Yaakov Yosef Schwartz, you know, there's five Yaakov Yosef Schwartz, they're all cousins to each other, you know, right? You know, so it was a little... So Moshe does suggest at least writing a family name at the end also. And we'd write Reuven Ben Yaakov, Lemishpachas, you know, and you'd write the Schwartz, you know, you'd write the family name as well. We want the woman to be able to collect the ksuva, and you know, she's right. Okay, we have a few minutes, so we're going to cover Shlomo Shnayim. What time is it? 25.
And the Kenyan that's made, I mean, he's been Machayev himself. So the counterparty, I mean, it's the counterparty could be anyone who's, you know, who's sort of Zachan Adam Shalbafanov.
Right. It's a standard by Suter, that actually standard process by Suter was actually done by and a shibud was done by the Edom. Even in the case where you'd have the Malva and the Loiva, the Edom would give the Suter in front of the Malva to the Malva, excuse me, to the Loiva in front of the Malva, and they'd be Mechai himself. You know, it can be done by somebody else. I mean, I've done it sometimes, but as Masada, I've done it. But actually, the standard is the Edom would do it. They would do it with the process of Zachan, but you know, but the standard was that the Edom would do it. What's kosher? What is actually one of the kosher of the Mikbaya Bay? So the Gemara says it has to have a shear of a. It's a more about Messiah. It has to have a shear of three etzpos by three etzpos. So, and the Gemara says that if the person will actually take it in their hand, that amount, that's also acceptable. Even though they didn't get. So, whoever's in their hand. And the more is governing Shambach and Batalis. The more says, okay, so if it's in your hand totally, that's yours. Therefore, the Gabi Kenyan Suter, that's enough. You don't have to actually put the whole Suter in your hand. You have to let, and the other person doesn't have to let go of the Suter. By something which is smaller than that, let's say like a pen. So because it's a chash of a Kaili, even though it's smaller than that, it's also acceptable. But over there, there's some which are machmer. In other words, buy a suitor, a handkerchief. You say, well, this amount of cloth can be used as a patch, etc. So I own that amount of the cloth. I didn't get the whole suitor, but that's okay. I got a half a pen. It's not very usable. So some are machmer that in the case of a pen, that the in the case of the mark and the kaina, the mark would have to let go. If it's a suitor, that's clear in the Gemara by a suitor that the mark does not have to let go, as long as the kaina has in his hand, that amount of suitor that which is sufficient, the gemara supposed, that's good enough. But by other items, there are those who argue that din of the Gemara doesn't apply, because the Lama says because that it's kilo, it's kilo, it's like it's cut off and you have it. So it's like I cut off half of the pen. Now it's worthless. But do you say no? That the Maisa, the board is it has to have a chashivus of a keli to it, which it does. And I now own part of the keli. So we'd be like Shutfin in the Kaili, but I own part of the Kaili, and the Kaili has a chashivus to it. That's why. So we're not machbid dafka to let go. I am actually machbid to let go. Rabbi Anam Rizatzal was not. If you remember, by doing your kinyan by your kinyan sutter by Mechiras Chametz, right? He wouldn't let go of the pen, right? Right. Now, you wouldn't necessarily notice what he does or doesn't. I noticed because you're like, okay, he's going like that sheet, you know. Which is, yeah.
This is a standard too, like
The reason why we don't change it is not to advise people which can't afford, etc. So we make a standard also.
So, because I feel like, I recall in the Gemara, I know it's like the three items, like clothing, food, and everything. You know, the woman comes in with property. I thought, the Gemara talks about that the woman could forgo his zonos. Like keep property that she forgoes.
No, that's mezonos is based on Ma'aseh Yadayim, on the work which she will do in the future.
Okay, so the things that are there's aspects that were like preconditions that basically put on people.
Right.
And that's not included. Those
things
not.
Well, so the Morris is, even if you don't write them, you're mechuyev them. All of those things are still there no matter what. The chiyuv to give her mezarnus is there no matter what. The chiyuv to remunaper her is there no matter what. The chiyuv to give her to bury her. The chiyuv to repiter her. All those chiyuvim are there no matter what. So we don't necessarily get involved in writing out all the details. So the was being indichrin there. All of those are there no matter what.
So she couldn't forgo like the mezonos.
She could forego the mezonos. She could either do it at the time of the ksuba, or she could do it later on.
And then, so how would that be annotated in today if you amend the ksuba?
Well, we wouldn't do it in the ksuba itself. We wouldn't do it. Because she could do that any time. She could do that any time in the future. She doesn't have to do it at the time of the ksuba. She says, any time in the future, I'd rather keep my own work, and you don't have to support me. So she can. That's a mechila that she can do. What?
So they can make that agreement. Whatever.
They can make an agreement. They can, you know, if they want to document it, they can document it. She can. Whatever she says, the law is that she can, at any point in time, revoke that and go back to his original chiva mezonos. It's not binding for forever afterwards. It was